David Griffiths, Reel 5.
With there being such a shortage of white women in the cantonments, was this a problem for the troops?
Oh, monsieur, yes. Yeah.
Were they grumbling about it and...
Yeah.
Did you get any instances of homosexuality?
Well, I didn't myself, but I think there was a few that was carrying on, like, you know, amongst themselves, you know?
You knew of some like this, did you?
Yeah.
What name did you have for homos?
Ass Wallace. I think you know that yourself.
And, but they weren't discovered by
Ganga
the
Waller.
Army. Pardon?
Ganga Waller. Ganga Wallers.
Ganga Waller?
And Ganga Waller.
What does Ganga mean?
Ganga Waller, just the same as how you say Ass Waller.
And you mean they weren't discovered by the army?
Not by the real officers. No.
What did the other troops think of them? Did they pull their legs or persecute them?
Definitely pull their legs, yeah. Pull their legs. I know one home now, in my hometown.
Who'd been in the army, you mean?
Yeah.
Did all the soldiers make use of the regimental brothel in Clonpoff?
Oh, I think... Yes. I don't say all. Because there were some of them outside going with... Well, myself, I was going with Parsi. That's a native... they're very, very clean, these Parsis. Clean their habits as well, you know? Well, I mean, I used to go to the PI room, PTI room, and I used to go and sleep with her, perhaps.
You mean this was a particular woman
yeah.
who you used to go to regularly?
Yeah. But the majority of the boys used to go to the regimental brothel.
Did you used to go to her house or what?
This particular one, yes.
Where did you go?
Yeah, in Cornport, down in Cornport.
I mean, where did you go for intercourse?
In bed.
In her house?
No.
Did she have a family there?
No.
She had
a father, like, and he used to be away. She was pretty high up, you know. She wasn't a very poor native, you know. He was kind of a traveller, I think, and things like that. Like. And I may say today she's beautiful. She was then, anyway.
You mean she was doing it behind his back?
Yeah.
Were you paying her?
No. No, I wasn't.
Did any of the troops get married to native women?
Yes. We had one boy by the name of Glyn Davis, MM, from Swansea, in our regiment. He got married to a girl called Ruby. And another fella got married to his sister called Diamond. And another fella got married to a girl called Pearl. There were three sisters, Ruby, Diamond, and Pearl. They were Anglo-Indians. Mind what I knew about them, they were good... as far as I knew, they were good people.
And did they get army permission to marry them?
Oh, yes.
Didn't the army frown on it, or...?
Well, myself, I mean... I wouldn't marry one of them.
You didn't think of marrying that Parsi?
No, I wouldn't. I would never do it. I say today that I would never do it.
But what about the army itself, the official army?
Oh, none of them. Not many got married.
I mean, what about did the men who married these Anglo-Indians have to get permission from the army?
I couldn't tell you, sir. I couldn't. I believe that they are to. I do believe that they are too. Mine, I would never ask my... It was my friend too, apparently. I never asked him that. He only told me that he was... And they had what they call a sleeping out pass.
To go and visit the girl?
To sleep out with them, see.
So he didn't have married quarters?
No. Until there was married quarters available. Perhaps somebody would be going home and they would take that married couple's place.
Which station did you like in India best?
Oh, I like Kompo.
Why was that?
It was very wide and space, flat, more sport, more places to go to, various places to go to, you know, picture house and all, yeah. And everything about it was better. It seemed a better part of India. Of course, as I said to you in the first place, when we went up in the Tulandi Quarter, there was nowhere to go at all. Nowhere to go at all. Only the pictures was all. But down there, we had the Bristol Coffee. That was the big draw down there, the Bristol Coffee in Kompo. And that was the... We used to have cabaret and dancing and all.
Who were the performers? Indians or white? Oh, yeah. White?
Indians. Yes, that song Dorothy L'Amour used to sing, what was it she made that song? Oh my God, I'd forget the name of the tune too. And we used to say, there was a girl and she could sing it, she could sing it well. I can't remember the tune, but we used to say, well, we'll stop on your ear, whatever cost, because she could put it over good. On the Road to Singapore, you know, in that film, you know. Mm-hmm.
Were there any stations which you didn't like very much?
Well, I mean, when I went to Llandicoetl, there was nothing to do. And, oh, it was boring. Well, it wasn't boring because, I mean, you was busy so much. As I'm saying, there was no active life outside, women, things like that. The ordinary facts of life and things like that. You had to adapt yourself to it.
Did you find that the people on the frontier, the Indians who lived on the frontier, were different to the Indians in the rest of India?
Oh, definitely.
In what way?
Yeah, they were more, I fancy they were more quieter. Myself? They were more like little villages up in this place in Llandi Quarter, little villages, and they'd keep themselves to themselves until perhaps that'd be a fiasco, you know? And they'd sort of fight amongst themselves then.
Could you distinguish between different types of Indians, like between Hindus and Muslims and Bengalis and...
Well, to me, they were all the same. That's what we used to think. We knew they had different religions, like, and but to me, they acted all the same, I think.
Did you ever get out into the countryside?
Yeah.
What did you do?
We done a forced march.
I mean, in your free time?
Yes, yes, we could go up the Allahabad Road, what we call the Allahabad Road, in Kompo, and go around there. I thought it was a fantastic sight. There was a squadron of Blenheims come down on Kompo Airdrome. And funny enough, I asked this one of these Air Force blokes where he was going. He said, we're going to Singapore. I think we're going to Singapore, he said. And we went over there, and when we seen those planes coming down, we thought we were, you know, we were coming home, you know. That's what we thought, you know. But they were going to the Far East, like, up into Burma and places like that. Like. And we used to walk around the airdrome there. And I'll give you one instance of a fella called Private Pullen, his name was. And every payday, we could borrow bikes, you see. Pay for the lend of the bike, you know. About 2 anna, 3 annas. And Private Pullen, and we would get paid in chip notes. You know, were chips, we used to call them, eh? Chip note, like, you know.
What's a chip note?
A chip, well, a five rupees Paunch rupees, see? That's five rupees, you know? You get paid by notes. A chip is like, say, Look, I don't get like a 10 bob note then, like, you know, it's the shape of a 10 bob note. That was a chip, it's worth about 1 and 8 in the old days, you know. Well, anyway, he used to go, he was a bit of a nutter, like. I think he had the dolari, all right, like, you know. And he used to go around the air room, and he'd see the bibbies there. And he'd go, "Bibby, come on. Egg chip, egg chip." To all, you know, it was...
One chip.
And he stopped it. He used to have his bike like that, and he, with a bit of air, like, you could see the notes, the baby perhaps could see the note rising, like, you know, he's, see, T-Kai-Sab, you know, and he'd be there, like, you know.
Are we, are, what does it mean?
That's okay. She said, so, that's all right, like, you know. But he was an amusing fella, he was. He was a proper nutter. Shoot the bastards at the way, he used to say.
Shoot what?
Shoot the bastards at the way.
What, the Indians?
Yeah. And funny enough, it's I don't know what it is. When we get together on our reunions, you know, black bastards, it seemed to be still in your blood. And I, for one, when I went out there, I think, what the hell are you knocking him up? What are they calling him that for? Because they're human, just the same as us. But it gets into you, and I know for a fact now, if I got into it with a conversation with a mate of mine, remember the first thing he'd say to me, or I'd say, "Ah, the black bars," you know. I don't know if it's a phrase or just, but we were taught that sort of thing.
And so, talking about getting out into the country, did you go out shooting or anything of that kind?
Oh, yes. Yes, we used to go shooting.
What type of things were you shooting then?
Well, we used to go out on the gazelle and things like that, you know. But the main point was that we used to go out, when we used to go on the range, firing on the range. After we were firing on the range, we had to go back to the butts and pick all the lead up. Because the simple reason of that was that the tribes were using. It was all lead. They make what are called dum-dums.
Dum-dum bullets.
And if one of them copped you there, you'd blow your back out.
Did you manage to see any things like temples or Taj Mahal?
Oh, yes,
or
Taj, yes.
What did you see?
The Taj. And the temples in down in Cawnpore, you know, where they prayers on the Ganges. Apparently they used to do our dhobi in the Ganges, do all our washing in the Ganges. And they'd put kanji in it.
What's kanji?
Starch. And you could, your KD shorts, you could lay them on the table like that and you stand up straight. And I had my shorts when I come home, and I put them on the table when after I come home to a blighty. And they were standing on the table.
What did you think of these temples and the Taj?
Oh, I think it's outstanding. Outstanding. And then on a certain part of the day, they pray when the sun... Slam Sab, and they'd be away. Slam Sab, Bada Slam Sab.
Did you and the other soldiers make any Indian friends?
Oh, I didn't know.
Whose houses you went to?
No.
So would it have been very unusual for a soldier to come into that degree of contact with Indians?
Well, they could go if they wanted to, but it wouldn't be very unusual.
Did you enjoy your time in India?
Outstanding.
Or were you glad to get home?
First, when I went out there, I was cheesed off. The first thing we always used to say, well, roll on the boat. Roll on the boat. That's all we could do, roll on the boat. But looking back, I think it's been a great experience. And if I could have my time over again, And if I had the money, I would go there for an holiday to see how things are there today.
What about other white people in India, apart from the soldiers?
Settlers, you mean?
Yeah, well, non-civilian
ones. Yeah, non-civilians, yeah.
Well, did you come across many civilians?
Yeah.
White civilians?
A few out there, yeah. It's a few.
What type of jobs were they doing?
Well, they were bosses of H&S Sadley factories.
Sort of managers, were they?
Yeah.
And did you mix with them much?
No. Perhaps our officers did, but we weren't in their class, like.
And what about people like whether white railwaymen or white shopkeepers or white police, people of that type? Missionaries, did you come across people?
No,
of that
I didn't
type?
Know myself. No, I didn't. No.
What about the attitude of the soldiers to being in India? Whilst you were a soldier in India, did you think it was odd, or did you think it was natural to be in India as a British soldier?
The attitude I took of it was this. As a soldier of the British Empire, India was such a big and a vast country. And we were at the time, of course, they didn't have independence then at all. We were there, I think, that they thought we was going to make it a better country for them to live in. That's my view of it. And we were marching around from different places, as I just previously told you. We were marching around from different town to town to think that the other people thought there was thousands and thousands of troops in India. I think when I was there, I think it was about 50,000 troops. But I think they had the attitude that it was about 5 million.
So did you think it was a natural thing for
I did.
To be,
yeah.
You took it as a matter of course?
Yeah. Well, it's a course of duty, wasn't it?
Did you think that British rule was a good thing or a bad thing for India?
Well, looking back now, I think it was a good thing.
For what reason?
Political.
In what way do you mean?
Well, I don't think they can afford to. I don't think they know the way to run their own country. I think that's the reason why we were there in the first place, after the Indian Mutiny and things like that. And we were there before the Indian Mutiny, weren't we?
Whilst you were there, did you expect British rule to end?
No, never ended over yet. I was shocked when I did hear it, didn't I?
But did you know about? I mean, you knew that some of the Indians, at least, were trying to get rid of you because.
Oh yes, they didn't want us out there. They never did want us out there.
Did you know?
I mean, there were some Indians more intelligent than others, mate.
So you just thought that they wouldn't succeed, did you?
I never thought we'd come from India. I thought we'd be there forever anyway.
Did you know about any Indian political parties or any Indian political leaders at the time in India?
Well, it was a job to tell who was who. Perhaps their officers knew him, which was kept under secret. But we didn't know.
What about Gandhi? Had you?
Oh yes, I mean he was. They worshipped him, didn't they? They all worshipped Gandhi. Gandhi was their god.
What did the soldiers think of Gandhi?
Our soldiers. Oh, we never thought nothing of him. But looking back since I'm home, I thought he'd done a good thing.
Did the soldiers discuss politics at all?
No, we didn't have time for politics. We never had much time to discuss politics at all. Yeah. Well, I was on guard one night, what call a quarter guard in Cawnpore. And of course, one of these TAs came out, a little fella by the name of 40 Davis. His number was 40, 40 years. I was on the cell, doing my beat on the cell, and he was doing his beat opposite the mule transport. And I thought to myself, oh, well, I haven't seen him for about 5 minutes. Where the hell's he to? So with that, the orderly officer came. So I shouted, Alto goes there, orderly officer. So advance and be recognised. So I turned the guard out. I had to shout, stand to the guard turn out. And there was little Di sleeping on this ammunition box, a big ammunition box. And he was a bit of a comedian, he was. And luckily enough, the officer who had wired Alton, he wasn't a regular soldier. He was a TA officer. And then he went up and said, you know, you're not supposed to sleep on guard, don't you? Well, he said, look, yeah, man, he said, we've only been out here for about a month, man, he said. We've not even said this weather yet, man, he said. But I can tell you, if he'd been on the night before, we had an officer by the name of Niggerand and a real old soldier, a ranker, and his feet wouldn't have touched. He'd been in the King for about 3 years, I think. He was lucky to get off that one.
Was it common to give soldiers numbers? Like you said, that chap was...
Oh, always. We never knew names. We never knew a name. 40 Davis, 60, I am 16 Griffiths. Unfortunately, my buddy now, I buried him about 2 months ago. He was in India with me. Private Samson. And his number was 10. We never called him Sam. Always 10. 16 or 50 or 60, whatever it was. You had a number, you didn't have a name.
So people never called you by Christian?
If somebody called me Di, I wouldn't know. Well, even today they call me 60, when in my hometown.
You mean the old soldiers?
Yeah, some call me 16 and others call me Gurkha. I always go by Gurkha.
Why is that?
Because I'm short. Yeah. When we used to come from the dining hall and call a swill bin, and if the natives went near it, they'd beat them from there straight away.
Why was that?
They weren't allowed to take it. They'd have ridden if they took it. But then they were real, they weren't starving, they were real hungry.
I used to think
about the little children there, you know, with big pot belly. Like, are they just like berry, you know? And they were real starving. They were starving, no arguing about it.
So you were instructed by the army
that they should
take your leftovers?
No.
What do you think the reason for that was?
I think the real reason was for us not to get too intimate with the natives.
Were you told not to be too intimate with the natives?
Well, I wasn't told myself, but as life went on, as we've seen it going on out there, that's the reason I think it was. Because, I mean, to say, if we had a suspicion of course, we knew these bearers and, you know, working in the cookhouse, you know, helping out, employed by the forces. We knew their faces. But if others came in, you know, and off the road, they were angry, and perhaps they'd get there and start getting into it, and you give them the boot.
Were you given instructions
I've never given instructions. I think it is a custom that had been carried down from years of British troops that had been out there years before that. Whether they were given instructions, I wouldn't know. But I think it is a custom that had been carried right down.
Did the troops give money or food or anything to beggars?
No, good God, no. No, never. Never.
Did the beggars approach the troops for money?
Yeah. And if a Bibby was pregnant, she'd ask me for food and she'd go, oh, Bibby, you know. And she was angry and pregnant and... You just couldn't. But the first baby I seen born was by a baby on the roadside. in India.
Was she just by herself?
Yeah. And they fell sick.
So she was just trying to deliver.
Well, they have them, they do have them on the side of the road, as you know, and they just carry on. They don't go to bed for a fortnight and things like that.